Hey guys, we're back again with another episode of Put Jord on Me. Hope everybody's staying safe out there. This week we talked to an old pal, Zach. Zach and I have been friends for several years, and this one is definitely way more of like just a couple old buddies catching up. Had a great time, talked about Zach's YouTube cooking show, which is hilarious and fun and funny, so I'd definitely say check that out. I'm going to put a link in the link tree on my Instagram, and I'll post it on Facebook as well. But yeah, hope you guys enjoy it. Here he is, Zach Evans, and thank you for listening to Put Jord on Me.
I'm just happy to be here with you.
I'm happy you're here too. I'm glad we finally got to do this because our schedules kept not aligning. Ah, there's a beat.
It's been a long time since we had some one-on-one time.
I know, man.
Can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
A 10-ton AC unit over here running.
Oh no, yeah, there's one right here too, so you're good. This is if you've ever listened to this is a very much not a professional setup, so I'm not super worried about it. How's your week?
Yeah, I'm that's good. That's the kind of way I do it. You know, it compared to the weeks here lately, it hasn't been that bad at all. What about you?
Oh, not bad. I've been asleep pretty much all day today. I usually, now that the restaurant's kind of back open, I've been off Mondays and Thursdays. So I took full advantage of that today.
How do you say the name of the, is it Guanky Margies?
There you go, you got it. How's the van going?
The van's, it's a slow go, just like any project I try to take on, because it I got so much other shit I gotta do all the time.
Yeah,
so it's hard. I gotta like plan a week in advance to dedicate a day to work on it, or the old truck, or whatever,
right? And then you would have to like, I guess, order parts and shit and make sure the parts are there before you would even do whatever it is you need to do to it.
Yeah, I typically order my parts online because I know exactly what I'm looking for. And I don't know, you're probably not up on the car memes, the car memes, as much as I am, being a car guy. But there's always memes about how, like, when you go to an Advanced Auto Parts or O'Reilly's or something, the people working there don't know what they're doing.
Nah, I would imagine so. It's, you know, it's probably for the most part a bunch of people just working a part-time job for a paycheck.
Who
are probably like have some kind of an interest in cars, but probably don't know near as much as a lot of the people shopping there.
And it's not necessarily that they don't know about it. It's just the way the process works. If you go to a auto parts store, you have to give them like the year, the make and model,
right,
and typically engine size of whatever vehicle you're working on. And a lot of the parts, you know, car guys or whatever, they're like, we don't have to give you this information to find this part. So it gives them a sullen sense of superiority, I guess.
Yeah. That's like, this is probably not like a one-to-one comparison, but this was several years ago, but I went to Verizon to get something fixed with my phone. And like, I knew exactly what was wrong and I knew what needed to be fixed on it. But the guy just like, the guy who was helping me just kept talking down to me. And I was like, look, man, I get that you probably talk to a lot of really fucking stupid people, so your assumption is that everybody's stupid, and I understand that, but I need you to like work with me here. I know what I'm talking about. This is what needs to be fixed. I need you to just give me what I need to fix it.
Right. I mean, you've been in customer service a long time.
Yeah.
Like I have. And you know, it's the seesaw. You got, you know, you're sitting there trying to help people. You're like, man, this guy's a fucking idiot. And then you got the customer on the customer side looking down on somebody that's in customer service, no matter what it is, just because they're like, I'm here, you have to serve me. And it's, I don't like that.
Yeah, and it's especially weird right now. Like, I'm not sure how, different retail stores that are open, or like other types of stores, like maybe an auto parts store or something like that. But you know, at our restaurant, we're just doing to-goes. And we're doing the full menu, but we're just doing to-goes. And, like, people will come in there and, like, they'll touch every single fucking thing on our table. And they'll do all this shit. And, like, you guys not watch the news? Just don't touch things. You can read, you look, but don't touch. I feel like, you know, it's communicating with, you know, first graders. You look with your eyes, not your hands.
Well, I think in general, you know, people don't know how to act in public. And I feel like it's a lot worse now. Everybody's been at home for 2 months, and they've, sure enough, forgot how to act in decent society. And I feel bad for bartenders and servers especially, because they're going to have to put up with a lot of bullshit, at least for the next couple of months.
The worst thing is... And I'm already prepared for it, especially because I work at, like, a margarita bar slash, like, not a Mexican restaurant, but, like, you know, that's just what it is. But, like, once we start to open up a little more, like the patio area, I can't wait to hear the same fucking joke every weekend. I'll take a Corona, hold the virus. It's like, oh, you're so fucking funny. Thank you. And then I have to pretend to
egg me with a spoon.
It's the same. It's that same fucking dad joke that everybody thinks that, like, oh, I'm the first person to come up with this.
You know, why would you think that was funny?
I don't know, but I guarantee you, somebody's gonna do it.
Somebody. Oh yeah. No, absolutely. Yeah.
Which is whatever. I usually just kind of let that stuff, like, wash over me and just pretend I didn't hear them, so that way I don't even have to fake laugh.
Frankly, I don't care if I ever hear the word Corona again. I mean, I enjoy Corona beers. Somebody asks me what I've got to drink, I'll just hold it up.
Yeah,
I won't even say
here
it.
Go.
Right here.
You need to switch over. Have you ever had Sol before?
I have. I like Sol. I like. There's not many Mexican beers I don't like.
Yeah, that's true. I like pretty much all Mexican beer. There's one, maybe it's Modelo. I feel like Modelo kind of has like a hint of, like, not in the taste, but the smell kind of smells like weed.
Yeah, I get that from a lot of Mexican beers. I mean, I'm not going to say I'm a beer connoisseur, but I am a beer advocate. So, no, it's got, you know, Mexican beers, most of them come in a clear glass bottle. And, you know, you've always heard about that's why beers are usually in dark bottles.
Right. Because
it keeps the light off of them, and that's where you get that skunky flavor from.
Yeah, I guess the only one I can think of off the top of my head that doesn't come in a clear bottle is Dos Equis.
Yeah.
The rest
and
of them
like
do.
And, like, the Negra Modelos. That's one
of
my
favorites.
Yeah. So good.
Yeah. Oh. So, How many episodes of the cooking show do you have now?
I think it's six.
Six? That sounds right. How's that been going for you?
It's got very good reception. I mean, a lot of people seem to enjoy it and have been very vocal about enjoying it. And that makes me feel great, because it's one of those things that's, I set a high standard for myself, even though I don't act like it. So I sit back and I watch them, and I'm like, man, that shit's kind of boring. Or I could have made that funnier.
So it's funny you say that. Like, you know, doing the podcast and everything. I just, granted, the podcasts are just typically longer. I don't listen to them, because I'm like, I don't want to get in my own head too much. But, like, you kind of have to, like, watch your own stuff to, like, be able to see what you did wrong, or, like, critique yourself or whatever. So it's like a catch 22.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about there. I have to sit there and edit it, and I just get tired of looking at my own face and hearing my own monotone voice. You know, I'm like, have I always sounded like this? I thought I had more.
Yeah, right.
I like to sing and guitar and stuff. And I'm like, ew.
I feel like you're like, oh man, I wish my friends would have told me this is what I sounded like.
Yeah, well, a bunch of good friends I got. Jeez, come on.
Yeah.
Criticize me, critique me.
I don't know what it is, though, because it's like, even if I'm not doing, like, podcasting stuff, but if I just hear my own voice on a recording, I'm like, God, I sound so fucking stupid.
Oh, you got a real sexy voice.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate Enjoy it. That. I appreciate that.
Yeah, it just, it makes me, it calms me.
It's funny, though. I'm sure a lot of other people are like this, but, like, I mean, I don't really have any kind of an accent or anything, but, like, whenever I get around, like, all the Jones County boys, for whatever reason, like, I'll pick up a little bit of a southern twang in there just because I'm hanging out with you guys. I'm not complaining about it one way or the other, but I just kind of do it unconsciously, and I'll catch myself, and I'm like, I don't even know where this is coming from.
Yeah, I'm trying to catch myself here, trying to hold back a little, because I know your audience, and I'm like, I don't want them to think I'm just some Hasidic hillbilly with a snoot full of honeybees.
Nah, I mean, the nice thing about it is, like, a lot, I feel like a lot of my friends and everything, including you guys, we all do a very good job of, like, not just making that snap judgment about people based on looks or sounds or whatever, because we have, like, a wide net of different types of friends and stuff like that. So, I don't know. I feel like life would be fucking boring if you just were like, if you had, not to get like super philosophical about it with like, you know, race or gender or religion or whatever, but like if you immediately think a certain way about a person because of something that's out of their control or whatever, you would never make new friends outside of like your little bubble that you already have.
Yeah, I agree. And I know a lot of people that make those snap judgments, and it just is such a turnoff.
Yeah.
I mean, it makes me, it disappoints me. Yeah. You mean, you can't progress with a mindset like that.
Right.
And like,
go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, I think I'm very open-minded myself. I mean, you know, it's kind of hard being in the demographic that we're in, you know, straight white males from the South, you know. But I'm very open-minded and don't, I catch myself sometimes about to make a snap judgment. I'm pretty good at stopping myself. I'm like, why am I, you know, that's stupid. Why do it?
Well, yeah. I mean, everybody, even if they claim that they don't, everybody does have like an internal prejudice against certain groups. A lot of it is like unconscious. Like they don't even think about it. But like you were saying, it's like catching yourself before like that you like let that thought like marinate or process or whatever. But yeah, it's like, I don't know. It reminds me of there's a meme going around, and it's like a scene from King of the Hill, and Bobby's holding up a thing, and it's like a sign in the classroom window, and it said something like, "You're gonna ruin this for the rest of us, Georgia and Florida." And then the next panel is the principal taking it out of his hand and said, "If these states could read, they'd be upset." I'm like, all right, it's funny, but like, stuff like that, you know, I sort of consider myself a southerner. I've spent outside of 5 years of my life in the South, whether it's been in Georgia or northeast Florida, like St. Augustine, and like Georgia and Florida and like some of these other southern states, especially with what's going on right now, they're not the only ones fucking up. California's fucking up, Massachusetts fucking up, Michigan fucking up. And also, like, there are shitty people and dumb people in every fucking state and every fucking country. But, like, there's just this, like, assumption that just because you're from the South or you have a little bit of a southern accent that you're dumb as shit or you're some kind of like a racist or a bigot or something, when reality of the situation is some of them are, some of them aren't. Just like fucking people from Boston, which Boston is like low-key actually the most racist city in the country, in my opinion, but
I would agree.
That's not
from what I, you know, from what I've seen, seriously.
It's, yeah.
It's just easy to blame stuff on the South. And people tend to choose the path of least resistance. So it's like blaming on the South, you know, they have such a bad past. It's easy.
It's also, yeah, yeah, you're right. It's like, it's just punching down as far as like jokes and shit. Like people like to talk shit about it, and then like, because it's the easy target. Like if you do any like cursory level, like, I don't know, research, not the right word, but just get to know people that are like from that area, and like maybe you won't automatically think that way. I mean, that's a larger conversation with everything, not just the South, but
I mean, the most of the, at least the whatever major metropolitan areas all around the South have become such melting pots. I mean, it's everybody's from everywhere.
Yeah. Well, shit. I mean, Atlanta specifically, it's really surprising if you meet somebody in Atlanta who's from Atlanta. Like, nobody's from here. I mean, the closest thing you're going to get is, like, you're going to get a bunch of the fucking suburban people that moved in from, like, Cobb County or, you know, Cherokee County or somewhere like that.
Yeah, I learned that in Milledgeville. Everybody was from a suburb of Atlanta that went to Georgia College, except for Jones County boys.
Yeah, it was whenever I would tell people that I was from, like, people that I would meet at Georgia College, when I tell them from Milledgeville, they'd be like, why? But why do you go to school here then? I was like, I don't know, I like it here. It's a fun town.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, well, if you grew up here, why didn't you want to leave? It was like, because I'm a military brat and we moved around a lot, and I was just kind of fucking over it at that point.
Yeah, you know. Kind of want to stay somewhere for a while.
Yeah.
Doing all that.
It is weird though, like, you know, I still have you guys down in Gray, but for the longest time I just sort of considered Milledgeville my hometown, because I moved there when we were 12, went to high school and college there, stayed there a few years after college. I think I was 23 maybe when, like, I moved from Milledgeville permanently, 23, 24. But now my parents don't live there anymore. My brother and my sister don't live there anymore. I have one or two close friends that are still in Milledgeville, but outside of that, I don't know anybody there. And then I don't really know anybody in St. Augustine besides my parents and my brother and my sister and, you know, the rest of my family. So I don't even know how to respond when people ask me where I'm from.
Just make something up every time. I mean, hey, you're never going to see him again. Who cares, right? You lived in Kentucky at one point, right?
Yeah, I was born in Kentucky. Went from Kentucky to Augusta or Fort Gordon. So Fort Gordon, and then over to Kansas, Oklahoma, and then back to Georgia. And then Georgia the whole time until I've been bouncing back and forth from Atlanta to Florida.
Because you got the tattoo, right, of all the states?
Yeah, the one on my back. It's funny.
I've always thought it was a cool piece.
Yeah, I like it, and it was it was a good one. I feel like it was a good first tattoo to get. But whenever people see it, you know, I explain to them what it is. They're like, "What happens if you move to a different state?" It's like, "Fuck if I know. I'll just." And no, the best question is, "What happens if you move to like Texas or Alaska?" It's like, I don't know, I guess I'll put it inside of Georgia and put like a little asterisk below it that says not to scale. I don't know what you want me to say.
Get off my back and this up as I go.
That's like one of my favorite memes that I've seen is, or at least about tattoos anyway, is like, what does that tattoo mean? And it's just like, it means I'm fucking cool, that's what it means.
There you go. I'm excited to get another one. I want another one really bad. I got my embarrassing one out of the way, so we're good there. But a very good friend of mine from high school is a world-renowned tattoo artist.
Oh, wow.
Caleb Gibson from Gray, Georgia.
Where's he? Where does he tattoo at now?
St. Petersburg.
Okay, so that's not too far.
No, it's not too far. I believe it's St. Pete. But yeah, he's a... look him up on Instagram. I mean, he is incredible.
Yeah, you'll have
he's
to,
a true artist.
You'll have to send me his shit.
Cleanest lines I've ever seen on a tattoo.
So you just have the one, right?
Yeah, and I want him to do my next one for sure. I'm embarrassed about my first one, period, but I'm embarrassed that he didn't do it, being a very good friend.
Yeah. I don't know. Marvin has a really good not theory, but just like way to look at tattoos, because Marvin's got some like 8 or 9, I think, and he's like, it doesn't matter if other people think it's embarrassing or like other people think it's stupid. As long as you like it, it's your body. Who the fuck cares?
Right.
He's got somewhere on one of his arms, he's got a cup with milk in it and an Oreo being dipped in there, because he was just like, I like Oreos.
That's great. I mean, that's tattoos should be of things you like.
Right. But I just feel like there's that weird, you know, you have like kind of the boomer mentality is like, why would you ever get a tattoo? Because you know what it's going to look like in 60, 70 years? Like, first off, we're probably not going to be alive in 60 and 70 years, so I'm not too worried about that. Secondly, is like, but then there's those people who won't come right out and say they don't like tattoos, but they're like, well, does it, what meaning does it have? Like, what, is it a deep meaning? Was like you said, it doesn't have to be deep.
Right.
I like Oreos, so I got a tattoo of an Oreo.
And I mean, I see, you know, I'll see an old guy with a tattoo on his arm. It's usually like a military tattoo. Yeah. And I'm like, you know, they're a damn 80 years old, got tattoos. And I'm like, that guy's a badass.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Yeah. It's, who cares what it, I mean, I think they look cool, even on old people.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm ready to get my next, one too. But, you know, with everything going on, it's like, a couple of the tattoo shops around here have reopened, and the one where I've gotten all of mine, but the one on my back just reopened. And like I'm cautious about it, because like from everything that I'm seeing on, it's Liberty Tattoo here in Atlanta, and everything that I'm seeing on like their Instagram, they're doing everything they can possibly do to make it as safe as possible. Because tattoos, especially, you already want to make sure you're going to like a clean place and like a safe place and shit like that. I remember, I always remember in Milledgeville when somebody would say they got their tattoo at Blues, the little place across from Hop In. If like, because they just didn't know any better, and everybody's reaction was exactly what you just did. Oof.
Yeah, man, I miss Milledgeville.
I do too, but you know, looking, having time to like reflect on my time there, it's the people that I met in Milledgeville that I miss. And if I could just like take like that group and put them literally anywhere else, I would love that town too. I just got super lucky to meet the people that I did in Milledgeville. And not only that, continue to meet new people from outside of Milledgeville because of the people I met in Milledgeville.
Yeah, and that's a good way to say it, because that's really what I meant. Because I have been back to Milledgeville, and it's definitely not the same without the people. Like you said, the people made it. I mean, we had a good group and enjoyed each other's company, and we all still hang out, more or less.
Yeah.
Because
think about it. What the shit that we did in Milledgeville, went to bars, hung out. It's not like we couldn't do that shit anywhere.
Yeah, we do that shit anywhere. Yeah. I love it.
I do. I am like, you know, living in Atlanta as long as I have. See, I guess it's been about five years total, you know, between my like two breaks down in St. Augustine. And like, and then living in St. Augustine, I'm a little bit like, what's the word? Spoiled. Because like, you can, you know, everything that's going on right now, notwithstanding, everything that you could possibly want, pretty much 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, is like right at your fingertips. And I remember going back, or, you know, back in Milledgeville, you know, if we were drunk as shit and we wanted to get like some food, we got like two options. We got Waffle House and Golden Pantry. And that's it.
we spent plenty of time at both.
Yeah, we did.
The cookout, it came a little after our time.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about cookout.
That's there. Well, I think it was right there at the tail end of our time.
And then, like I said, love my time in Milledgeville, but, you know, I'm not saying anything that anybody that doesn't know me doesn't already know about me, but, like, when I got my DUI when I was 21, you know, looking back on it now, it's like, I moved my car because it was in the bank parking lot, and I knew had I left it there overnight, I was going to get a ticket. I'm just moving my car about a half mile down the road. I didn't think anything of it. But also, like, you know, living in Macon, living in Atlanta, or living in, like, a little bit bigger cities, you have shit like Uber, where you don't have to worry about taking a fucking sketchy-ass taxi cab like the ones that were in Milledgeville. Because there was literally those two cab companies in Milledgeville, and both of them, you had no idea what you were going to get.
Yeah, and we still used them a lot.
Because we didn't have a fucking choice.
Yeah. We got pulled up, it was a guy that looked like Don Vito from Viva La Bam. In a 2001 Ford Windstar. No markings on it anywhere. It was just a guy in a van. And we all willingly, he's like, just get it, give me $10 a piece. I'll take you wherever you want. And he took us straight to the house. It was great.
Yeah, I mean, besides just like the cars.
Looking back.
Yeah. I do remember one time in one of the taxi cabs in Milledgeville. I think I was at the Bellamy or like somewhere near there, and I got picked up, but it was like an Uber pool that I didn't ask for, because there were other people in the car too that like I didn't know.
Who are all these motherfuckers?
Yeah, I was like, I don't fucking know any of these people. I was going to meet like friends that were already downtown, so it was one of the vans, and like I'm on the inside part next to the window, and there's somebody behind me, and we get in, we're going, and Zach, I'm not kidding you, we get maybe 60 seconds down the road, the person sitting directly behind me throws up onto my back.
Oh, man.
the cab driver pulls over, tells us all to get out, and he's like, you all owe me X amount of dollars for cleanup or whatever. And I just looked dead at him. I was like, I don't fucking know these people. And I walked away. I just started walking like back to the apartment that I was staying at to get changed.
That's just piss poor luck. Wait, that was the cab going downtown?
Going downtown. You know those fucking, I mean, not to say that
young kids can't hold their shit.
Yeah, man. They're underage. And fuck, I barely went out when I was underage. One, because I was typically one of the older ones in my friend group, so I would have been the first one to turn 21 anyway. But I didn't have any friends going out, but also I just had a shitty fake ID as it was. So like I didn't know if I was even gonna be able to get into the bars.
It was an Asian guy on the ID. I mean,
I say it was a fake ID. It was my real ID, but so my birthday is 10/12/88, right? And what I did is I took the smallest, like tiny little itty bitty piece of notebook paper, and I put it over the 0 and the in 10, and then I taped over that, so it looked like my birthday said 1/12/88. So, like, it was a legit ID, and, like, if you just looked at it, it looked good, but all you had to do was just rub your finger over it a little bit, and you could feel that, and, like, that's it.
I don't know why I was thinking you were older than I was.
No, we're...
I'm 11 days older than you.
Yeah, I was about to say, we're all right around the same. Me, you, Adam, and Seth are all, like, have birthdays right in that, like, one-month window. And then,
yeah, Adam's 29th, and I'm the 1st, and then Seth's the 5th, and then you.
And then my brother and Joe Festa actually were born on the exact same day.
What a weird day it was. That's a joke. I love Joe Festa. Your brother. He's a big goofy joke.
It is a weird day. Every time I'm trying to explain Garrett to somebody who's never met Garrett, the only thing I can think of is, like, I promise you, you've never met anybody like him, and that's really all the information I can give you until you actually meet him. There's no words can't describe Garrett's personality.
Oh yeah, he's a. I've met him a few times. I'm sure he doesn't remember me, but I mean, I remember him being a quite the comedian.
Well, so it's funny you say that, and he doesn't do this to me because of what we do to you. But he's the one, because when he like gets on a joke and he fucking runs with it and he just keeps going with it and keeps going with it. So occasionally I'll just get random like messages or texts or whatever from him, completely unprompted, about like a Demon Jones tour update or Demon Jones is releasing a new music video. He just sends it to me for no reason. I'm like, thanks, Garrett. I don't know what I'm supposed to do with this information though.
Yeah,
and then,
that is a,
and then eventually that goes back to you.
that's been quite the running joke. And for those that don't know, I will explain it. I'm from Jones County. There's a hick hop.
Yeah.
Hick hop, is that right?
Yep, that's
country
what it
rap
is.
Artist. From Jones County, named Demon Jones. His real name's David Jones. He's pretty well known. If you like that kind of music or live in Jones County, and I do not like that kind of. I mean, there's not many genres I don't like, but the country rap, I can't get down.
There's like a couple of Kid Rock songs that I unironically like them. Like Kid Rock's got a couple of fucking bangers, but outside of that. I would say Kid Rock's probably the most famous of that type of music.
Yeah, I mean, to me, it's a. That's a really loud plane flying over. Put a muffler on that plane. I don't think he heard me. I don't want to go against what you're saying, but I would consider Kid Rock. Definitely more towards the rock.
Yeah, for sure. But he I just feel like he kind of spawned a lot of that type of music. Even though I think his is, I would agree with you, I think his was closer to rock than that type, but it's like that little, it has that southern feel to it.
Yep.
And then he does like a little bit of rapping. Rapping, I use air quotes to say that.
Yeah. The premise of the joke about the Demon Jones thing is I'm from Jones County, he's from Jones County, and I made a bold statement one night saying that I'm the most famous person from Jones County. And so somebody was like, what about Demon Jones? He's, you know, he's made records. And I'm like, oh, horseshit. And so now everybody just kind of whatever picks on me about the Demon Jones thing. And I mean, I doubt he'll ever hear this podcast.
God, no.
No offense. Some offense. I don't give a shit for his music, whatever.
No, even if my podcast starts to get a little bit more famous or more people start to listen to it, I cannot see a Venn diagram where Demon Jones and I are going to have linking circles of the same types of fans.
Oh, no. Garrett will listen to this and make a joke about it. And Wilson and all my assholes.
What's the name of the dude, because you said most famous person from Jones County, what was the name of the dude who played for the Royals the year that won the World Series. He's from Jones.
Terrence Gore.
Yeah. Glad to say it. At least y'all got him now.
Well, I mean, Otis Redding's actually the most famous person from Jones County.
Oh shit, I didn't know he was from Jones County.
Yeah.
I think I always just heard that he's from Macon because people just are like, no, they're not gonna know what Jones County or they're not gonna know what Gray is, so just say he's from Macon.
Well, he's probably like me. I'm from Jones County, but I grew up with a Macon address because I was closer to Macon than right. Gray. So you know, people ask me where I'm from, I don't say Gray. I tell them Macon.
Well, it's like my dad. You know, technically, he was born in St. Augustine because there's no hospital in the fucking podunk ass town that he was yeah. was actually from. So he was born in St. Augustine, but that's not where the city he was from.
Yeah, I was born here in Macon and only lived outside of Macon for like 2 years. Made my way back, and I'm not rooted here or whatever, but I guess I'm proud to be from Macon. I think Macon's a cool ass town.
Yeah, I need to come down there and like once shit starts to like open up a little bit more, and explore the town a little bit with you guys, because you know I lived 30 minutes away from Macon for most of my life, being in Milledgeville, and we went to Macon to go to the mall, and then that was it. And we fucking, it was the mall, and then shops at River Crossing, and then we'd go back home.
Right.
And, like that one time that one time when you and Wilson had that place in downtown, and you had the housewarming, and we went downtown, downtown Macon. I had a blast. I was like, this is fun.
Yeah, you did. Macon is a, it's no secret that I'm a food guy. You can look at me and tell. But Macon has got some fantastic restaurants, and it's developing into a good beer town.
Yeah.
We've got the first one was Macon Beer Company.
Mm-hmm.
And full disclosure, I don't like Macon Beer Company. I don't like any of their beers. I think they suck.
Yeah, I've never had any outside of Macon Music and then one other one. And I guess the only reason I tried them is because, like you said, they were like the first ones on the scene as far as like Central Georgia goes, for like local breweries, and the Brick carried some of their stuff. So I was like, I wanna try to support a local thing, so I'll try it. And I was like, it's just not for me.
I'm not trying to take away anything from the guys, but from what I know, the guy that started Macon Beer Company wasn't really a beer guy, and the guy that bought it is not really a beer guy. You know, they sell beer.
Yeah. Well, have you ever had any of New Realm? It's kind of a newer brewery here in Atlanta.
I know who they are, yeah. But I don't recall anything about it.
Same kind of concept. They bought that place. You know, their brewery is located literally on the Beltline. So the location is fucking amazing. But it was just some guys who, you know, younger guys who just had money. They liked beer, but they were looking at it more from like a financial thing, where it's like, we can just start a brewery right here on the Beltline, and we're going to make so much fucking money from the location alone. I've not had any of their beers where I'm like, I'm gonna drink this regularly, or I'm gonna buy this at the store next time I see it.
Yeah. Moving on from that, the two places in Macon that make beer that is very good. You see me posting about Piedmont and yeah. and Fallon all the time. Which Fallon started as Omogi Brew Pub. They made the beer cannery.
Yeah.
But those two, the two brewmasters for those places, I don't know a lot about either one of them. They're both pretty cool guys to me. The guy's name that runs Fallon and Omogi is Doug Evans, no relation. And then Piedmont, you got Brian. And They're pretty cool cats. I think they're kind of feuding with each. They have like this weird feud where I don't think they're super close, but they both make great beer, and they're both like actual beer guys.
Yeah.
And the stuff they produce out of those two places is phenomenal.
Yeah, I feel like if you're gonna open a brewery or like a restaurant or, you know, anything like that, you kind of have to, obviously you have to have that background knowledge, but you also have to have like, you either also have to be very business minded, or you have to have like a partner that's doing it with you that's super business minded, because
and that they both do. That's yeah. Why it's,
which is what, yeah, that's great. Like, you know, I see like the most successful local restaurants that I always see is like you have a, it's usually owned by more than one person, and it's the owners have like differing levels of expertise to like make it work.
Right. Yeah, that's why I've always thought it'd be cool to have a restaurant.
Yeah.
And me and Jake have talked about it before. Jake being the money man and me being the face that would run the place. I think it would be a good working thing, and maybe get some of our other friends in on it, but it would just be fun.
Yeah. I've always thought there's this, it used to be a whiskey bar in the Highlands up here, and it closed. It's over nearby where the Meddlesome Karaoke place is. It's nearby there, and like every time I pass by it and I see it, I'm like, an Amici would be perfect right in that location because of where it is, and there's enough people from here that work and live in Atlanta who either went to Georgia College or went to UGA who know about it, what Amici is, and know about Amici from their years in college. So it'd be like a nostalgia thing, but like Amici's a good fucking, like, it's a good bar and a good restaurant.
Oh, I agree. You know, we've got one here now, and it's done very well because it's more or less on Mercer's campus.
Yeah, and it's Bob and John are the same guys who own it. They're the guys who own the Milledgeville one too.
Yeah, there's five or six Amici's.
Yeah, there's about
Athens, Madison.
Athens, Madison. Covington has one, I'm pretty sure. And there's one other.
Oconee?
Yeah, Oconee. They sold, Bob and John sold the Oconee one. They did own the Oconee one. They sold that one, and now they just have Milledgeville and Macon. I think they sold the Oconee one to open the Macon one.
Gotcha.
Which I'm okay with. I actually, when quarantine started and I saw that Amici was just doing to-goes, I joked with Seth. I was like, do you want to just drive to Macon and go get Amici and just eat it in your truck? Because, like, what the fuck else are we doing? We're just sitting around the house.
They are back open now.
I saw that. Yeah, there's a... It's okay. I'm just talking to Zach. Seth just walked out.
Oh. Hey, Seth. What you, oh, man. I'll save that. If we put that in my pocket, I'll save it for later. Yeah, what you got the drink there?
I don't know how to say it. I just thought the bottle looked cool, because I don't speak no languages.
El Pensado.
I'm not at all.
I'll leave that one to the experts.
El Pensador.
Is it wine?
Yeah, it's some kind of red wine. I don't know what kind, because I peeled off the...
You were just drinking straight out of the bottle. I thought it was one of those real, elusive beers.
Oh, no, it's just a $10 bottle of wine that I bought at Kroger today. I'm trying to do, kind of getting back to, like, business talk or whatever. No matter what you're doing, whether it's, like, a restaurant or a podcast or, you know, like, a YouTube show, you have to, like, create, like, a brand or, like, something about you that people remember. So one thing that I try to do it on every
every episode is just drink an entire bottle of wine while I'm talking to whomever. So it's
the, so you're saying you have to be drunk to even talk to me?
No, I'm not drunk yet.
No, yeah, no, I get it.
I was a little bit high at the beginning because I took an edible earlier on in the day, which is why I've been sleeping pretty much all goddamn day.
Oh, man. I could sure go for an edible right now.
Ooh, so now that I say that, I got to recommend a documentary. I just watched it on Hulu yesterday. Was it yesterday? The day before? It doesn't matter. It's called The Amazing Jonathan Documentary. Do you know who Amazing Jonathan is?
I do not.
He's like a comic magician. But like I saw an old special of his on Comedy Central a while ago, so I've always been a little bit aware of him. And he's been on stuff like Letterman and like some of the other late shows. But they were doing a documentary about his life, but this is not a spoiler, but he got diagnosed with cardiomyopathy, so the doctors only gave him a year to live. But you know, they were just talking about his life and everything. He's like, yeah, I stopped. He was talking about how he used to do cocaine all the time. He's like, yeah, I stopped doing cocaine because I didn't need it anymore, because I found speed, is how he said it. I was like, oh, okay. But relating back to what we were talking about, he straight up smoked fucking meth right on screen. And I was like, Jesus.
Oh, wow.
I was like, what is even happening?
I was like, it's
a wild...
That's a power move.
Wild documentary. He's like, yeah, I smoke meth every day. And he's like... I mean, you always see these pictures of, like, people who are fucking methed out of their goddamn brain. And he doesn't look like that. I mean, he doesn't look great because, you know, he's dying, but... He doesn't look like he's a fucking meth head.
Was he dying? I don't know much about that. Whatever he got diagnosed with.
It's a heart condition. I don't know any much else about it either.
It's kind of a thing where he's like, well, I'm gonna die, so let's try all these drugs.
No, so he was always doing cocaine, like when he was touring and doing all this shit, and then he was like, he got to a point where he was doing it so much that. It wasn't even getting him high anymore. So,
yeah, that's...
he was just like, all right, well, I guess it's time to do meth.
Yeah, that's, I heard it's a tough road to travel, huh?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's, but yeah, definitely check. It's on Hulu. I would say, I would recommend that documentary because, fuck, I didn't know where it was going. It was a wild ride the whole way.
A good documentary.
Yeah, you go into it thinking it's just going to be like a documentary about this guy. And like, you know, the last little bit of his life, and then it just fucking goes a lot of different directions.
It's a documentary about a magician, and then all of a sudden he's smoking meth and like, "Oh, time to put the kids to bed."
Also, something fun to do while you're high. Just look up David Blaine videos on YouTube. Shit blows my mind all the time.
I'm not trying to enter the realm here.
people like to shit on magicians because they're usually like kind of goofy and a little bit over the top, but I think magic is cool as shit.
Oh yeah.
Because I heard an interview.
I'm with you. I mean,
go ahead.
We're doing that thing where we keep trying to talk at the same time, and that happens to me, and I'm like, well, this guy, what's he keep trying to talk for the same time? It might be me, though. Hell, it might be me. I'm sorry. This is your show?
No. This is about the people I have on here, and also, nobody knows, like, proper, I mean, there really isn't proper, like, video call or video conferencing etiquette. I mean, we use Zoom all the time at Guild Quality when I was working there, and it's just, you know, when you're in person, you can see these little physical cues that, like, oh, this person's about to say something, so I need to shut up. But you don't really get that when you're just staring at a computer screen?
Well, you know, I'm new to it. I've only started doing the Zoom thing since we've been in quarantine. I'm usually the guy with a piece of tape over the camera.
we don't want the government hearing watching us.
Yeah, I don't want them watching us, just listening to me through my cell phone.
Man, it's fucking crazy. And this is, I always sort of knew that, like, not the government, but like somebody was listening, like on our cell phones and shit. But I never really thought much of it. So Seth got a record player, started buying records, and he's like been just telling me about the records and shit that he's been buying. And I started getting ads about records and record players and shit on like my Facebook and my Instagram. I've not looked at any of that shit on the internet. I've not done anything like that. It's just been me and Seth talking about it. And I'm getting ads and shit for it.
Yeah, it's it's real. It's this is not good because since we've been doing this podcast here, Kev, I've been drinking bourbon. So I feel pretty good, and I don't know, we can't go down the whole conspiracy rabbit hole because there's no turning back with me, you know that.
Okay, wait, let's do this then, because I actually enjoy like more fun conspiracy theories. There's one, for instance, where Avril Lavigne is not really Avril Lavigne. Avril Lavigne died a long time ago, and the new Avril Lavigne is just a body double.
Frozen up. Seem to become steel.
Did you hear what I said?
No, not at all.
Okay, so I was saying, like, I do like to look at, like, fun conspiracy theories, ones where you're not, like, worried about the government or anything like that. But there's one where it's Avril Lavigne died a long time ago, and the current Avril Lavigne is actually a body double, and they just didn't want anybody to know that Avril Lavigne died. I think that one's funny, because why would anybody, I mean, like, not to be like very negative or whatever about it, but like in the larger scale, why would anybody care that Avril Lavigne died? Like, obviously her friends and family are gonna care, but why would it mean so much to, or why would anybody?
I mean, typically, you know, speaking from what I know about musical artists and then dying, you know, usually when they die, they sell some more records.
Yeah. Could you imagine how many fucking downloads Skater Boy would have if people found out Avril Lavigne died?
At least, like, 3,500 worldwide. That's one of, speaking of Seth, I think that's one of Seth's favorite songs, Skater Boy. For everybody listening that doesn't know, it's spelled SK8. Is it ER or R?
No, just R. SK8R. B-O...
SK8R.
And I'm pretty sure it's B-O-I, not B-O-Y.
The way I spell boy. When I'm typing out boy and I spell it...
Yeah, that was back when everybody was using fucking numbers for letters and shit. Back when everybody still had AIM and making AIM profiles and shit like that.
And you remember that? I talked to so many girls on at least four.
Oh, yeah. It was that one, MSN Messenger, and a couple other ones. And there was never, like... There was such an adrenaline rush when you, like, got a notification, like a message, like the little bling.
Yeah.
And now we all have our phones and, like, where we can get messages at a fucking instance wherever we are. And whenever my phone vibrates or, like, I get a notification about something, especially if my phone rings, I'm like, who the fuck is Bob trying to talk to me right now?
Yeah. That's in the technology, just our age.
Yeah.
We're getting to the age where we're like, why does somebody want something from me?
Yeah.
I was on you know the dating app Hinge?
I've heard of it. I've never used it.
But. Yeah, so on that one, when you're creating a profile, you don't get to, like, just write a bio like you do on Tinder and Bumble. You have to pick three, like, prompts, like, different questions, and you have to answer the question. So one of them is, I'm the type of texter who? And then blank. And then I saw this, I was on there and I saw this girl and said, I'm the type of texter who would rather use FaceTime. And I immediately swiped, like, went left on it. I was like, there's no way I'm going to FaceTime you ever. FaceTiming is the absolute worst.
You ever accidentally FaceTime somebody and then they pick up?
Ooh, no. Wait,
no.
Have you done that?
I don't know, when I've been drinking, on an iPhone, the FaceTime icon looks, it's the same color as the message icon.
Mm.
So I'll just start, like, blindly hitting buttons and then FaceTime somebody and I'm like, oh, God, what did I do?
Then you have to think of an excuse to, like, get off of it.
Yeah, I just hang up and then they call me back and they're like, did you mean to do that?
No, I didn't mean to do it. Didn't you see
me? I'm like, I don't want to talk to you, more or less look at you.
The only person that, unless I'm trying to get, like, very specific information right away, the only person that I ever call to have, like, extended conversations with on the phone is my parents. Just because
I've lost you again. This is, like, the worst internet connection ever.
Huh. How about now?
Are you getting all this? You're gonna have to edit this out.
Yeah, no, I'll edit it.
Sexy.
Won't be too bad. I found a pretty cheap and easy audio editing software online, so it's typically what I use. What was I saying?
We're talking about somebody.
Oh yeah, the only person that I even like to call, unless I'm just trying to get, like, to have an actual conversation, is my parents, just because I live kind of far away from them. So I'll call them once a week to, like, check in, see how everything's going. And that's it.
Yeah.
But yeah, these, I don't know. I'm on all the dating apps and they're pretty fucking boring. But I use them out of boredom. Mm-hmm. But, like, talking to people on there now is even worse, because, like, you can only message basically a complete stranger so much when nobody's doing anything. It's like, hey, what are you up to now? No, still nothing.
Yeah, it's I got on Bumble.
Yeah.
Like a year ago when I went through a breakup and I was like, all right, well, I'll give it a shot, because I've had friends that have had success and some that have not. But so I got on it, and to me it felt like a thing. It didn't seem like anybody took it seriously. I think it felt like something that they were doing because they were bored. Because I matched with a few girls and with strike up conversations, and it would go good for whatever that evening I was talking to them, and then never hear from them again. But despite people listening to your podcast right now, the way I've traditionally been able to flirt with girls is by talking to them in person, because I'm not a good guy, you know. I've used my words. That's my
you're very charming in person.
I mean, you know, that's, I don't know about that.
No, yeah, I get it, and it's like, it's just weird.
Thank you.
Because
wait, were you being serious or being bullshit?
No, I was.
like I feel like you do a good job of creating a good first impression. You know, second and third impressions, a little bit up in the air, but your first impression.
Well, thank you for. I mean, that's a very nice thing to say, I guess.
Well, yeah, the first half of it, anyway. Oh man! All right, well, let's close it up with this, Zach. I know you actually. Typically, I ask my guests to plug a local restaurant, especially right now with everything that's going on. And I know we've talked about Amici and the Brick, both in Macon. So we'll just say that's the plug. Plug your new YouTube series, your cooking show. Ah, shit, you're frozen. Hold on.
Yep.
All right. I think I got you now. Oh, maybe not. Professional. This is professional. Hold on. All right.
You're moving. Am I moving?
Yep, there it is. All right, we're good now. All right. Like I was saying, we've typically...
You're froze again.
How about now?
Okay, you're moving. All right. I like the moves. Okay.
What I was saying is typically I'll have my guests like plug a local restaurant like from wherever they are. But, you know, we've talked about the Brick and Amici, both in Macon. I would say both of us would say... go use those. So I want you to plug your YouTube cooking show. So tell us the name of it. Tell people how they can find it and everything.
Well, it's called Zach's Untitled Cooking Show. Originally came from not being able to think of a title. We tossed around Zach's Country Kitchen and bullshit like that, but just stuck it with Zach's Untitled Cooking Show, and it's pretty much just me cooking some dishes I like. I love to cook, and there's a little humor thrown in, and it's only going to get better from here. I finished out season one. I wouldn't say strong, but season two is coming up, and the premise here for season two, I've got 6 episodes planned, and all 6 episodes are going to have a guest star.
Hell yeah.
And it's going to be either a friend of the show or a fan or just in general one of. I mean, obviously they're all going to be my friends.
Yeah.
And I won't tell you who they all are, but I will tell you that 2 of them have been guests on your podcast.
Hell yeah!
I'm gonna let you guess. I want you to guess right now.
Right off the top of my head, based on who I've had on and our mutual friends, I'm gonna go Adam and Gordon.
Bingo.
Yes.
Man.
Well, I know...
Adam, one of my oldest friends, Adam Green, is going to do an episode with me, which I'm very excited about. And then my oldest nemesis, Gordon Thomas.
Oh, Gordon.
It's no secret that me and Gordon hate each other. But so that's going to make for a great episode.
But it's a fun hate, though. It's not like actual hate.
I don't know if I would call it a love hate. But it's I'm just playing. Gordon's great, man. He's a weird looking guy.
All right. Well, I'm gonna put that link in the show notes and everything. So the link to your show. So everybody go check that out. Zach, it's been fun. We'll talk again later, real soon, I'm sure.
Thanks for having me on, Kev. As always, it was a pleasure.
All right, later, bud.
See ya.